Now we are going to go to a part of the teaching where people will not like. We are going to go to the differentiation between women and men in terms of getting back to Adam before sin, showing that a woman's salvation is different from the salvation of the man. Very uncomfortable, but must be done. So converting back to Adam before sin, a woman's salvation is different from the man. Now, when we go in the scriptures, we will see that there are things that are said of the woman that might sound different from the woman that we have today. That is because of Babylon, of course. Babylon, being the direct enemy of Yahuwah, has turned the world opposite to Yahuwah's order. So all of us here were brought up in the system of Babylon. So being brought up in the system of Babylon, we learned Babylon's ways, and we grew up nurtured in Babylon. Now you come to the way of the Most High. We have to go back to the way of the Most High. We have to read the scriptures and see what they are saying and get an understanding of what is expected of us. So 1 Timothy 2, 8 to 15, we are going to look at that.
I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting.
So men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath, without anger, and without doubting. That is for the men. But this is very significant that he spoke about men being praying. And then this is what he had for the woman. Because a woman's salvation is different. A woman is judged by her ability to suppress her sinful nature. All of us are. But that nature in a woman that was in Eve, women are judged by that ability to suppress that. Verse 9.
In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array.
So, the two significant words that we're looking at, shamefacedness and sobriety. The word shamefacedness refers to, comes from G1 as a negative particle, and G1492 through the idea of downcast eyes. Bashfulness, that is towards men. Modesty, or towards alua, or reverence, shamefacedness. Now, this is very significant. It is saying that the woman, the true woman that he's speaking about, must be modestly attired. Yes, many of us women, we do that. We attire ourselves modestly. But what about this part? With shamefacedness, through the idea of downcast eyes, bashfulness, that is toward men. So the woman must be so humble before the man, the woman is not even willing or able to look into the man's eyes. That is a holy woman. That is what it's talking about. And she is so bashful towards the man, she's even afraid to speak to the man. That's what bashful means, isn't it? What does bashful mean? Bashful. This is not the woman that Babylon has given us. But when we are converted, when we revert, this is where we should be. Bashful means socially shy or timid. Socially shy or timid. So the true set apart woman, converted woman, will not be bold and in every in the man's face. She will be timid to even look into the eyes of a man. Modesty, or towards Alua, awe. So that woman will be in awe of Yahuwah. What does awe refer to? It refers to the fear of Yahuwah. That woman will be in total fear of Yahuwah. So much fear of Yahuwah. That woman will be even afraid to speak. That is the true mark of what a woman should be. Remember, we are talking about conversion and we are showing where we need to be. If we are not where we need to be, it means we are where we should not be at this time. So it says shamefacedness and sobriety. Sobriety comes from the Greek sophrosune, something like that. Yeah. From G4998, soundness of mind, that is literally sanity, or figuratively self-control, soberness. So that woman must have total self-control. And where is a woman's lack of self-control most readily manifested? It is through her
mouth.
Her mouth, through speech. So she should be so bashful, she's afraid to speak and will have control. Even when she wants to speak, she's not riled up having to be angry and having to talk and having to this. She is able to control herself because of bashfulness towards man, and also because of awe or reverence or fear of Yahuwah. So we continue back to Adam before sin. How we get back to Adam before the sin of Adam and Eve? A woman's salvation is different from the man. 1 Timothy 2 verse 10.
But which becometh woman, professing holiness with good works.
So the behavior of the woman must be, well, that which becometh woman, professing holiness with good works. Remember we were saying Babylon made us into women of, made our society women of power, women who dominate, women who dictate, women prime minister, women this, women every single thing, women vice president of corporations and this, all sorts of things, empowering women, going against the order of the Most High. That is what we are coming out of. The whole thing is, how do we go back to being women like this? Then that is why it says now in verse 11.
Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection.
So he is saying here, the woman must keep silent. So let's look at some of these words. Silence, and we're going to look at subjection. The word silence is from the Greek word hesokia, feminine of G2272, as known stillness. That is desistance from bustle or language. Quietness. Silence. So what this is referring to is that a woman must not even twitch while she's in the assembly. That's it. It says stillness, that is desistance from bustle or language. Let's look at what bustle means, even though we have an idea. Want to get this exact today? Bustle means to move briskly or often ostentatiously, to be busily astir. So to be doing anything at all, moving about, showing body language, facial language, whatever, that is a no-no for a true converted, set-apart woman. And it says she must learn in silence, quiet, with all subjection. And the word subjection there is from the Greek word hupotagai, which means subordination. subordination. Let's look at the meaning of subordination. Subordination, placement in a lower class, rank, or position. So it is an acknowledgement of the woman that she is in a lower class. She is not equal with the men. A willingness to humble herself down to nothing. This is not me. This is what the word is saying. The act or process of subordinating someone or something, or the state of being subordinated. And the synonym is compliance, conformity, obedience, submission. Submission. So how does the woman get back to Adam before sin? Let's continue in 1 Timothy 2, verse 12.
But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence.
But to be in
silence.
Again, he repeated this silence. So, to usurp authority over the man, what does that mean? Usurp authority is the Greek word authentio, from a compound of G846, to act of oneself. That is figuratively dominate, usurp authority over. To act of oneself. So the woman has to be in submission, which means she will not be acting of herself. That is why it says, if she would learn anything, let her ask her husband of at home. So she is not to be acting of her own self. Let's continue.
For Adam was first formed, then Eve.
So the "for" there means because. So what he's telling you, that all this thing that I'm telling you now about the woman, it is because of Adam and Eve. Adam was first formed, then Eve. And what happened?
And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression.
So the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So in other words, he's saying that it was a woman who was deceived. And when she was deceived, she was in the transgression. So she now has to be under subordination, under submission, to go back to Adam and Eve when Eve was in submission to the Most High. Remember, we said conversion is getting us back to Adam and Eve before they sinned. That's what life is all about for us. That's it. Going back to reconciling back to Yahuwah. Let's go to verse 15.
Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in emunah, and love, and holiness with sobriety.
So how can the woman be saved? It says she shall be saved in childbearing. What does it mean in childbearing, first of all? Childbearing. Let's go to Genesis 3, verse 16.
Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee.
And he shall
rule over thee.
Rule over thee. Let me get something set up before I get back to that. I had I don't think I'm ready for this as yet. Let me get back. Yeah, childbearing. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. This is what it's talking about. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And this goes back to Chasad's dream. She was bringing forth that child, but the child was not brought forth in sorrow. Remember, you did not go through travail to have that child. That means that that child, hey, if the command is for you to be saved in childbearing through sorrow, bringing forth that child, and you did not bring forth that child through sorrow, and when you look, the child ended up being nothing but dirty. What is that saying? Think about it. What is it saying? You should be have brought it forth in sorrow. It was not brought forth in sorrow. But yet still, it was dirty. It is a confirmation of this here. That you have to have been brought through in sorrow and have the husband rule over you. And you did not. And that is why they, after that, it was all blood and everything was unclean after that. So I believe it has something to do with this. Let's see how it develops. All right. So, all right. So the danger of the tongue, because we're looking at when we are lacking in subjection, the danger of the tongue. And of course, we're speaking about the woman being in silence. And we are talking about the opposite woman that has been bred by Babylon. The opposite that has been bred by Babylon. Babylon has given us a woman that is equal to the man, and that woman has equal voice and speaks whenever she wants to speak, whatever. Not bashful to speak. So let's look at the difference with the woman that is nurtured in Babylon, as opposed to the woman being quiet and under all subjection. James 3 verses 1 to 18. People, we all want to be perfected. It is my desire that we all make it to the kingdom, really and truly. But we need to get our houses. All of us need to get our houses in order. James 3, verse 1.
My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation.
Many masters there means many teachers. Do not strive to be a teacher, because it is more so much more easy to be condemned than those who are being led. Continue.
For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body.
The whole body, if we can control our tongues, we can control our whole body. So when you are converted, you will have to have control over your tongue. Verse 3.
Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth.
The tongue is a little member. And women who are watching this, the Most High is doing you a favor. Because if you cannot speak, then the only way you can sin is in your thoughts. When men are out there speaking, he said up here, be not many masters, for in many things we offend all. So we are speaking, and we are running the risk every time that we speak of speaking sinful words. When the Most High says, woman, be quiet in the assembly, and you don't speak, then you will not offend in words. Continue.
And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature.
But hear this.
And it is set on fire of Sheol.
Of hell. So it is set on fire of Sheol. So devilish forces will use us, the more we speak, to actually speak error. And we see this in the book, Shepherd of Hermas, the angel of righteousness and the angel of wickedness, or the angel of iniquity. So the more we speak, the more likely the angel of iniquity will come out. Verse 7.
For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison.
That's why I'm telling you that the Most High does the woman a favor when he says woman must be silent in the assembly. It will teach you over time self-control. Over time, self-control. Verse 9.
Therewith barak we Eloah, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of Eloah. Mm-hmm. Out of the same mouth proceedeth barakah and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be.
All right, we can leave it at there. These things ought not to be. So we just look at the, let me see how far it goes. Oh, it goes to 18, so we have to deal with the wisdom now. We go to verse 13.
Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom.
So when you have self-control and you are wise and you have true knowledge, then you will show out of a good conversation, out of a good conversation, speech, and also from your behavior. Conversation also means behavior as well as speech here. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom, humility of wisdom. Verse 14.
But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, exalt not and lie not against the truth.
So we must not have envy and strife in our hearts. If we do, we are going to be liars. Verse 15.
This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work.
Where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Let's go to the meaning of envying and strife, since it says that. Envying there, properly heat, that is zeal, in a favorable sense, ardor. In an unfavorable one, jealousy, as of a husband, or figuratively of a lure, or an enemy, malice, emulation, indignation, jealousy, fervent mind, zeal. And strife refers to intrigue, that is by implication, faction, contention. So this is division. So where there is malice and contention and division, there will be confusion and every evil work. It does not say some evil work, every evil work. But verse 17 says,
but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy.
The wisdom from above is pure compared to strife, confusion, and every evil work. Purity, peaceableness, gentleness, and easy to be entreated. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. This is the wisdom that comes from above. And verse 18 says,
and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace.
The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So When we have the wisdom from above, we will be peacemakers. As the word says, Barak are the peacemakers. So the righteousness will come from those who are peacemakers, not those who are hung up with envying and strife. All right?
1 Corinthians 3, 1 to 3.
1 Corinthians 3, 1 to 3. All right, go ahead.
And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual.
Sorry, I don't have the right thing. Yeah, go ahead.
And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Hamashiach. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hereto ye were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?
Wow.
So in other words, if there's envying and strife and divisions, that means we are all carnal still.
Yeah.
Thus there's no conversion happening yet.
Yeah. Envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So in other words, we are not to walk as men, we are to walk in the Ruach as led by Hamashiach. All right, so woman must be under subjection to be saved. There are no two ways about it, and this is something that I teach and people mock it. But when you look at the precepts going back to Adam and Eve, we see it very, very clearly. 1 Corinthians 14, 29.
Let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his shalom. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted. And the Ruach of the prophets are subject to the prophets.
Mm-hmm. For
a Ruach is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the assemblies of the Kodeshim.
So when the Ruach of Yahuwah is leading the assembly, there will not be confusion. There will be the opposite, which is shalom, or peace, in all assemblies of the saints. Then he went on to say, because hear this, he spoke about the prophets. The prophets, of course, are the men. Now he's speaking about the women. For Alua is not the author of confusion, as in all assemblies of the saints. And in order to prevent confusion, he went on to say, in order to prevent confusion, what did he say next?
Let your woman keep silence in the assemblies. For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience.
As, let me tell you what it says. What is that? 1 Corinthians 14, verse what?
34.
All right. 1 Corinthians 14, 34. Let your women keep silence in the assemblies. For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. So, what is the law? What is the Torah? What is the Torah? What is the law?
What is the law?
Yeah. What is the Torah?
The first five books in Yahusha?
The first five books in the Bible. So there are some people out there who says, what is Shaul talking about? They are commanded to be under obedience. Where in the law does it say women must be under obedience? They are looking for a law that says, thus saith Yahuwah, the woman must be silent. But the law is the first five books. So all we have to do is go back to Genesis 3:16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. What did Shaul say in 1 Corinthians 14:34? They are commanded to be under obedience. This is the law. He shall rule over thee. So any woman that is not under obedience to her husband is breaking the Torah. Any woman that is not under obedience to her husband, every time she disobeys her husband, she breaks the law. Because the law says, he shall rule over thee. Any woman that is not allowing the husband to rule her has broken Torah. Any woman that is ruling her husband has broken Torah. Look at it. They are commanded to be under obedience, as said the law. And the law says, he shall rule over thee. So, how can a woman go back to Yahuwah, stand before Yahuwah, having ruled her husband? Impossible. And not even her husband, not being in subjection, for example, to an assembly. A woman's salvation is different from a man. A woman's burden is different from that of a man. Just like the Most High does everything with everyone. A Gentile's salvation is different from the children of Israel. Every man to his own order. And we saw in the books of the Nazarene how Mashiach said every man, he said something similar, that no two bear the same burden. Didn't he say that?
Correct.
No two bear the same burden. A woman's burden is different from a man. It all goes back to Adam and Eve. Many people don't understand what Shaul is speaking about. Our perfection is our ability to go back to Adam and Eve. So the woman must be under subjection to be saved. Continue in 1 Corinthians 14:35.
Which verse?
35. And if they will learn?
And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the assembly.
It is a what?
A shame for women to speak in the assembly.
You see the order? It is a shame. A shame for women to speak in the assembly. So it says, even if they will learn anything, let them not ask it in the assembly. That's what it's saying. Wait until they go home. So I guess this would mean that when the assembly breaks up. So as long as the assembly is convened, the woman must not speak. And Shaul went to emphasize this now, because there are some people who will be saying, oh, Shaul, what is Shaul speaking about? I understand exactly what Shaul is speaking about. And from my limited experience, I understand everything about this exactly. I understand it. Don't know if you do. Verse 36.
What? Came the word of Eloah out from you? Or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of Yahuwah.
All right. So if any man wants to say, hey, this is not so, this is wrong. All right. Shaul is telling you that these are the commandments of Eloah. Continue.
But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order.
And this again is a jab at the Christian church, because it says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. It's speaking to brethren, it's speaking to men. And forbid not to speak with tongues, it is speaking to men. And when you're in the Christian church, it is mostly the women who are speaking in what they call tongues. That has been my experience in the assembly, in the church where I used to attend. The Verse 39, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues, is speaking to the men. Because the woman must be silent. It is a shame for women to speak in the assembly. So this is not referring to them. And verse 40 tells us why it is done. Let all things be done decently and in order. Decently and in order. And as long as women are allowed to speak, it cannot be done decently, and it cannot be done in order. And that has been my experience. All right, so decently and in order. Let's look at the order in the assembly. Ecclesiastes 7:27-28.
Behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one, to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found.
The preacher is saying that among a thousand he may find a righteous man, but among a thousand he has not found a righteous woman. This is why it has to be done decently in order, and this is why women have to be under subjection. So the righteous man will subject the woman, and the woman being under subjection will be able to follow the righteousness that is led by the man, especially the righteousness that is in an assembly. So the husband might not be in perfection, but the assembly itself is above the husband in terms of the assembly is speaking the righteousness. The husband might not be following the righteousness. So in an assembly, the woman has to subject herself to the man and to the assembly that is led by a man. So that is why in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 3, it tells us of the order.
But I would have you know that the head of every man is Hamashiach, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Hamashiach is Eloah.
The head of the woman is the man. It did not say the head of the woman is her husband. It says the head of the woman is the man. That is why the true set apart woman is will be in shamefacedness and sobriety before her husband. And you know, I just realized that I left out a little part here. Let me remember to go back to it. Let me go back to this. Where is it? Yes. I just remember this. Saved in childbearing. So when we say saved in childbearing, not just having children saves the woman. There's a condition again. It says, if they continue in faith and love and holiness with sobriety, which is submission or self-control. So the woman saved in childbearing, if they continue in emunah or faith, love, holiness, and self-control. I just forgot that I didn't point that out. Sorry about that. So where was I? Yes. So when it says the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Hamashiach is Eloah, that is why it says, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, not over her husband, over the man, but to be in silence. So we said earlier that the woman in subjection would be in awe of Yahuwah or reverence of Yahuwah. Without the fear of Yahuwah, a woman cannot be under full subjection. Now, it has been my experience over the years that women, especially women who have been given gifts, seem to think that the Most High is their personal friend. That they can do anything and the Most High has their back. This has been my experience. And you cannot tell many of these women anything to let them know that Yahuwah does not play. You will think that he has your back, and you might even be in a delusion. You have to seek out righteousness no matter what. You cannot take anything for granted. This is my experience with myself. Yes? You cannot take anything for granted that, yay, you have this, Yahuwah has called you to do this, so you know, he has your back and he's with you and he's all with you with everything and no one can this and no one. No! We have to make sure that we fear Yahuwah. When you fear Yahuwah, you will not do anything that will take you away from him. If you do not fear him and assume that he has your back, he will not have your back because you don't fear him. All right? Proverbs 31 verse 30.
Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth Yahuwah, she shall be praised.
The woman that feareth Yahuwah, she shall be praised. So when she fears Yahuwah, this is what will happen to her.
The fear of Yahuwah is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate.
So the woman and the man, of course, will hate evil if they fear Yahuwah. So they will not do that which is wrong. They will hate pride, so they will be humble, shamefaced. And they will hate arrogancy. And they will hate the evil way, whatever is evil. And the froward mouth, the mouth that is predisposed to rebellion and disobedience, the woman will hate it. Yeah? And when the woman or the man fears Yahuwah, Ecclesiastes 1:21 says,
the fear of Yahuwah driveth away sins. Where it is present, it turneth away wrath.
So when the woman fears Yahuwah, then that woman will walk sinless. Very important. A woman cannot be under full subjection unless she is fearing Yahuwah. Because if she does not fear Yahuwah, when the pride of life, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, when her emotions start taking grip on her, she will not have the desire for self-control. She will have the desire to express whatever comes to her. But when she fears Yahuwah, it will drive away sins. She will be able to have self-control. Now we come to the man. A man fearing Yahuwah will have his woman under subjection. Ecclesiastes 27 verse 3.
Unless a man hold himself diligently in the fear of Yahuwah, his house shall soon be overthrown.
Unless a man hold himself diligently in the fear of Yahuwah, his house shall soon be overthrown. So if the man does not fear Yahuwah, his woman, even his children, will overthrow him. Ecclesiastes, Sirach 90, verse 20.
The fear of Yahuwah is all wisdom, and in all wisdom is the performance of the law and the knowledge of his omnipotency.
So when we fear Yahuwah, it will bring all wisdom. And in this all wisdom, the man will be able to rule his house. He will be able to have his wife under and children under subjection. And he will be able to perform the law. And in performing the law, Genesis 3:16 will come into mind when it says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. So the husband has also the task of ruling over his wife in order to obey the commandments. If I, as a man, am not ruling over my wife, I have disobeyed the commandment. Where do I think I am going? I have to be able to obey the commandment, to go back to before Eve sinned, when Adam was in charge, before everything was turned around. That is where we all have to go. So for the woman, she has to be in subjection to the man. And for the man, he has to have the woman under subjection, or else he has broken Torah. All right. So, pleading. We're going to be looking at pleading. And we are going to look first at Ezekiel 20, 34 to 38, because we're going to look at the impact of the woman on the end time assembly. The impact of the woman on the end time assembly. And we are going to see that the woman is used by the Most High to plead with his people. Ezekiel 20, 34 to 38, we are speaking of the second Exodus. Ezekiel 20, 34 to 38. Let me get it. I'll tell you when I got it. 20, 34 to 38. Look for the word plead. Go to 33 first.
As I live, saith Yahuwah Eluah, surely with a mighty hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out, will I rule over you.
Will I do what?
Rule over you.
Will I rule over you? What is the order of his rule? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. This is how the Most High will rule over us. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3.
But I would have you know that the head of every man is Hamashiach, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Hamashiach is Eluah.
This is the order. This is how he will rule over us. Verse 34.
And I will bring you out from the people, and will gather you out of the countries wherein ye are scattered, with a mighty hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out.
Mm-hmm.
And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face.
This word, plead, will I plead with you face to face. Let me see if we get a meaning. I didn't look for the meaning. Plead there is the word shafat, which means to judge. To judge, that is pronounced sentence for or against. By implication, to vindicate or punish. By extension, to govern. Passively, to litigate. So this is what we're saying. He will judge us. He says he will rule over us. And it says to litigate, to judge. So he is going to judge us the order, according to the order that we follow. Are we following his order? As set out in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, where the head of the man is Hamashiach, and the head of Hamashiach is Eluah, but the head of the woman is the man. Will we follow that order? That is the question. Continue.
Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith Yahuwah Eluah. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant.
All right. I will cause you to pass under the rod. That means it's not going to be an easy road. Okay? So, anyone expecting an easy ride, especially for us here, you are going to be disappointed. He said it. He will cause you. So all the different challenges that we are having, they are not by chance. Who caused it? Yahuwah. I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. This is what is going to happen in the end. So after we go through all the hell that we have to go through here, then what we have waiting for us is the bond of the covenant. But this is what he's going to do along the way. Verse 38.
And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me.
I will purge out from among you the
rebels.
I'll remember this word because we're going to look at rebellion after this as well. And them that transgress against me. So if you are speaking here about the order, if the woman is not under subjection, the woman is going to be transgressing against Yahuwah. If the man does not have the woman under subjection, the man will be transgressing against Yahuwah. Very, very important. I will
bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Yashareel. And ye shall know that I am Yahuwah.
These are us who have been brought out of the land where we sojourned. Yeah? He's telling us of a rejection according to whether or not we rebel and to according to how we transgress. So people, together, even us here as a group, we should be coming together to see how we can take sin from among us, how we can help each other out of sin, not to be fighting, consuming one another. This has to be on the back of our minds. How can we help each other to on the way to perfection? Not how we can beat down one another, how we can condemn, how we can put down and cancel out one another. Because this is what we all are facing. All are facing the purging of the rebels and those who transgress. So, we are going to the men again. Those men led by women will be cut off. I know in Babylon, if you get this out there to the people out there, I wanted them to get this. In Babylon, women have the upper hand. If you can just even put up this piece to let the people out there. Babylon has programmed us to give the woman equal or upper billing. And when we have a woman that is strong-willed, us men tend to give heed to the woman for peace of mind. Because men love peace of mind. And we don't love when the woman, because women are manipulators. They know men. They know what has men going, what they can do to get the man to do their bidding. The man now wants this peace of mind. So he will even know that that is what the woman is doing. But for the peace of mind, he just said, ah. And so some men will say, oh, she wears the pants. Oh, go and talk to my wife. She will do this. For peace of mind, because she is so strong-willed and she wants to lead, the man will allow her to lead. So this is the problem with the world of believers today. When you come to the Most High, you have to flip it around. It has to. Remember, we were in Babylon. We cannot bring the way of Babylon with us. We have to go back to the old path, which is the
good way.
And we will find rest for our souls. That's where we have to go back. So let's go. Isaiah 27. And we're going to skip out some verses 1 to 3. You can read all of this if you want. Isaiah 27. Let's go to verse 1 to 3. And we are going to show. And another thing before we go. We have to know about grafting in, that even we as Israelites, this is another thing that I have to say. Let me just say this before we go into this. Israelites, as the children of Israel, when we wake up and find out who we are, many of us just jump in and start religions and start all sorts of things and start to think as if the Most High owes us an obligation. Let me tell you something. You see that olive tree that the Gentiles have to be grafted into? We ourselves have to be grafted into the same olive tree. Because remember what happened to us is that we had been cut off. We were cut off because of the unbelief of our fathers, sent into captivity. And sent into captivity, we were estranged from the Most High. Now he gave us Yahushua Mashiach to reconcile our way back unto him. We have to be grafted back into the olive tree of Yasharal. So with that in mind, let's go back down now to... look at this green thing here. Those men led by women will be cut off. Isaiah 27, verses 1, 2, 3. Come. Get away. Yeah. Man, you come. Man, he's following the light. Yeah. Read from verse 1.
In the day that Yahuwah, with his sore and great and strong sword, shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea.
Oh, this is talking about the end times here. Leviathan, of course, is Babylon, is another term for Babylon. So this is the end time destruction of Babylon. He shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. Continue.
In the day, sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. I, Yahuwah, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day.
So this is when he recovers back his people and he starts nourishing them again. So let's go to verse 9. Let me see. Which verse? Yeah, verse 9 to 11.
By this, therefore, shall the iniquity of Yaakov be purged. And this is all the fruit to take away his sin.
This is the end time and he's taking away the sins of our people. Go ahead.
When he maketh all the stones of the altar as chalk stones that are beaten in sunder, the grooves and images shall not stand up.
This is the end time when he promised again that you shall no longer call me Baali, but you shall call me Ishi. You shall take the words of Baal out of our mouths. This is when idolatry will be removed. Verse 10.
Yet the defense city shall be desolate, and the habitation forsaken, left like a wilderness. There shall the calf feed, and there shall he lie down, and consume the branches thereof.
So he's saying that before that, Jerusalem will be a desolation, and left like a wilderness. Yeah? Verse 11 tells us what he will do to the entire nation and who will destroy, who he will use to finish the nation. Verse 11.
When the boughs thereof are withered.
Now this is speaking about, this is what the Apostle Shaul was speaking about. When he said in Romans 11, when he says, if the branches are broken off so that the Gentiles can be grafted in. This is the breaking off of the branches. This is the destruction of the men of Yasharal. Verse 11.
When the boughs thereof are withered, they shall be broken off. The women come and set them on fire.
The women come and?
Set them on fire.
So the women will come. The women are those that will be the destruction of our men. The women come and set them on fire. For it is
a people of no understanding. Therefore, he that made them would not have mercy on them. And he that formed them will show them no favor.
In other words, he will give the men over, give the nation over to the mercy of women. Very sorry to say, woman, but that is just how it is. And let's go to a precept for that. Isaiah 3, verse about 4. Isaiah 3, verse 1, 2. Yeah, verse 12.
As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them.
And women rule over them. And let's see what happens to our people when women rule over them.
Oh, my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the ways of thy paths.
When women rule over us, they cause us to err and destroy the way of our paths. So that is why let's go back to Isaiah 27:11. When the bows thereof are withered, when the men are not in right standing, they shall be broken off the olive tree, and the woman will come and set them on fire, because they are without understanding. Therefore, the Most High will not have mercy upon them. Continue, please. Where are we? 27:11. Let me see what's next. We said 9-11. Oh, so we're going to go to Romans 11 and see what it means when it comes to grafted in. Romans 11:17-20-something. Romans 11:17.
And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by emunah. Be not high-minded, but fear.
So the branches, as we spoke about in Isaiah 27, were broken off because of unbelief. They were a people without understanding, and they were broken off to make way for the Gentiles. Continue.
For if Elua spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee.
So many of us who are just thinking that we are Israelites and this and that are not willing to actually go into the depths of everything that the Most High expects of us, we are going to be in problems because he did not spare the natural branches. Verse 22.
Behold, therefore the goodness and severity of Elua, on them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in.
Graft in.
For Elua is able to graft them in again.
So this is us people. We have to be grafted in again. So it's not like, oh, you're an Israelite and you're in the kingdom. We have to be grafted back into the tree of righteousness. And as we showed earlier, the woman will be used to finish us off if we are not in right standing. Continue. For if thou wert cut out of... You're there?
What verse was that?
Romans 11:24.
For if thou wert cut off of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree?
The natural branches be grafted in. So we need to be grafted in again. Verse 25.
For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Yasharel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in.
All right, so this is where we are now, the fullness of the Gentiles coming in, and we were in blindness. So the woman will be used to finish off the men who are not in right standing. And again, the order has to be there. So, unless we are converted, we will be in the flesh. Remember, we are speaking about conversion. Conversion from our sinful state back to before sinful Adam. So John 3:3-8 gives us this ultimatum, as it were. John 3:3-8.
Yahusha answered and said unto him, Truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Eloah.
Except a man be born again. What is this born again referring to? Converted. Converted. He cannot see the kingdom of Eloah. Continue.
Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Yahusha answered, Truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Ruach, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Eloah.
Except a man be born of water and of the Ruach, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Eloah. Continue.
Marvel not that I said
that which is
born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Ruach is Ruach.
So this is the conversion now. We are born naturally of the flesh. We now have to be born of the Ruach. The Ruach is leading us into all righteousness. Continue.
Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again.
So this is how you know now. When we are born again, we are able to be taken and tossed wherever the Most High wants to take us and toss us. Verse 8.
The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every man that is born of the Ruach.
So is everyone that is born of the Ruach. So we have no self-determination. We are just led by the Ruach. We don't know what is happening next, what is coming next, what is coming tomorrow. We just live and are led by the Ruach. So if we are in the flesh, if we are not born of the Ruach, then we are going to be doing the works of the flesh. There's no two ways. There are no two ways about it. If we are not converted, we will be doing the works of the flesh. Galatians 5:13-24.
For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another.
But continue.
This I say then, walk in the Ruach, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
So this I say then would be like consequently, which means as a result of all this that we just read, in order to prevent it from happening, we must do what?
Walk in the Ruach.
And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is the conversion. When we are not minding natural things, we are not seeing people for who they are, but for the Ruach that is in them. And the love and compassion of the Most High is in us so much that we do not have animosity towards one another. We so desire peace and love and for one another to make it because of the love that we have, then we will be not fulfilling the lust of our flesh. Verse 17.
For the flesh lusteth against the Ruach, and the ruach against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would.
So if we are walking according to our physical eyes and according to our emotions, our feelings, then our flesh will be lusting against the ruach. All right? And the ruach will be there buckling the flesh. And they are contrary one to the other, like oil and water. They cannot mix. And you will not be able to do the things that you should. You will not be able to walk in righteousness. But verse 18 says,
but if you be led of the ruach, you are not under the law.
So this is if you are converted and led of the ruach, you are not under the law, which means you will not be walking in sin, as we showed earlier. Verse 19.
And that's the law of your members, right? Not the Torah.
Yeah.
Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings and such like.
Revelings
and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of Elohim.
So in other words, as long as we are in the flesh, as long as we are not transformed, as long as we are not converted, we cannot inherit the kingdom of the Most High. But when you are converted, then we will be walking in this, from verse 22. This shows that when we are converted, this is what we will be walking in.
But the fruit of the ruach is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, emunah, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law.
There is no law. There is no law that says thou shalt not love. Thou shalt not be in shalom. Thou shalt not be long-suffering, and so on. And verse 24 says,
and they that are Hamashiachs have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts.
So what is that saying? If you belong to Hamashiach, the affections and lusts of this world will not be in us. So we will not be sentimental, emotional, and all sorts of all, and easily bothered, easily flustered, easily angered, all of those things. And we will not be lusting after the things of the world and materialism and all sorts of desires when you belong to Hamashiach, because we will be like him. Hamashiach did not love the world. Yeah? All right.